Brothers and sisters, the theme for today's Mass is total commitment lived in freedom. The gospel passage we just listened to opens us with a very important moment in the life of Jesus. We were told that Jesus was drawing close to Jerusalem. And every time we read that, it tells us about what it means going to Jerusalem. He set his eyes onto Jerusalem because it will be where he will complete his mission, where he will be arrested, tried, condemned, crucified. He will die and also rise. Jesus going to Jerusalem, but he was with his disciples. But they have to pass through some states or some communities. And one of the communities we heard today was this Samaritan community. And when Jesus wanted to pass through with his disciples, they said no. The reason is because those Samaritans hated the people of Israel. They were not good friends at all. They were not good friends. Because the temple is built in Jerusalem, while they have their own temple in Samaria. Why do we have to go to Jerusalem? So they would not allow him to go, to pass through, to go to that place. So two of his disciples decided, okay, Lord, you have power. Why can't you call fire and brimstone to consume these people? Who are they to stop us from going, reaching our destination? Though immediate punishment, revenge, which is what we sometimes do, don't we? A pound flesh, like Shylock. Right? Give it to them. I have the power, I could do it. Two of his disciples did that. So that there are people like us too. Even among his apostles. Call fire and brimstone to consume them. Who are they to stop us from going to where we want to go? But Jesus said no. He didn't listen to what they were saying. They find another way to go to Jerusalem. The irony is that after the resurrection and Jesus, after the inauguration of the church, Jesus is gone, the church witnesses persecution. And where did the Christians go? They took refuge in Samaria. The people who were not friendly with them before, they were the ones who gave them shelter, the ones who gave them protection. And from there, the church, the Christian day spread out and came to Oklahoma. That's what I thought. But in any case, you see, the reason why I'm emphasizing on this particular part about not being quick to judge and quick to, you know, fight back. Sometimes the person who may be your so-called enemy now may be your friend tomorrow. Not to be quick to judge or quick to take action or to revenge. We often do that. There is a movie I watched some time ago, and I watched it over and over and over. That movie is called Crash. Have you ever watched it? Some of you say yes, many of us say no. It doesn't matter. But there is a part of it that I like so much. And it's because as I was reading this gospel and I was, you know, reflecting on it, I saw a part of that in the gospel, in that movie. My mind went back when I watched it. That movie is about the racial situation in this country. The blacks hate the white hate the blue is the green and all that. the Mexicans, and then the Middle Easterners, Asians, and Indians, and everybody is fighting against each other. There's hatred all over. But I think what that film was trying to do is to see that there's some good in even the so-called bad ones. There was a couple, an African-American couple, who were stopped by a police officer. And the police officer was really rude. And actually, when he was searching them, he violated this lady, so to say. The way he did it, he was too intrusive, it was too bad. And the wife was looking at her husband to come and help. And the husband said, I couldn't do anything. They went home. The lady was not even mad at the police officer, but was mad at her husband for not helping her out. The husband said, baby, what am I going to do? He's a police officer. He has a gun. He has everything. So what do you want me to do? So they divorced. She was so mad at him for not protecting him. But how can you protect yourself from the police officer? Okay, but the story was that this lady was driving to somewhere, and all of a sudden she had he got into an accident, and the car somersaulted and was on fire. But guess who saved this person? It was the police officer. Who searched them before was the same police officer who now rescued this lady. Do you get my point? It's not a good, a wonderful example, but somehow it's almost the same. That this lady wanted this officer, she wanted something to be done to him, she was so mad at him and all that. Well, he did something not right. But at the same time, eventually, when this lady, nobody could have gotten her out of the car, burning car. But it was only this police officer who came out and rescued her. She looked up and saw him. And the man flashed back to what happened in the past. But she should have been grateful. Even though what happened to her was not right, what she did to her was not right. But what I'm saying is, maybe that's how God designed it. That the person who abuses somehow may be the person who will save you again. Amen? But if you take revenge immediately and fight back, and sometimes, you see, the result of it. What I'm saying is, the Samaritans actually were not friendly to Jesus. John and the other person said, let's kill them. Let's take revenge. But eventually, it was the Samaritans who gave the early Christians safety and refuge when they were facing persecution. So wait a minute. Sometimes there's good in the person that you think that is so bad. That's my point. And that's what Jesus is saying. Amen? Amen. The second part of the story was, people were buying into what Jesus was saying and going to Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem. They knew what he was going there to do and all that. So a man came to him and said, Lord, I will follow you to Jerusalem. Jesus looked at him and said, I don't think you are ready. Because I know who you are. I know what is in your mind. You are not actually following me because you are buying into me, because you are coming for what you will get. Just like some of the apostles who were fighting over who will be on the right, on the left. Jesus knew his man. And that's why he said, foxes have holes. Birds have nets, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So if you cannot follow me, it's not about what I have or what I can give you. Because I know what you want. I can't afford it. I can't give it to you. So you're not going to be a good disciple. Because there are some people who get into the whatever it is for what they will get out of it. But Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you must be actually one who is following me for the ministry, for the work, not just for what you can get as a person. And that's what he saw. He said, Then another person he saw that had the qualities who could follow him said, Lord, I am ready to follow you. But first of all, let me go and bid farewell to my father, to my family. Or the other one said, let me go and bury my dad. Let me go and fulfill my filial duties so that I can come and follow you. Jesus said no. Just like what happened in the first reading. When Elijah called Elisha to follow him, Elisha said, let me go and kiss my family farewell. Let me go home first and say bye to them and all that. Well, I don't want you to take this to some kind of absolute literalness. But the point is, when it is about God, when God calls you, are you going to be giving excuses? Let me finish this. Let me do this. Let me go to Las Vegas. Let me go to Miami. Let me go to my resort in Florida. Let me go to this place and that place. I can't serve in the church. I can't be in the choir now. I can't be a member of, I can't read, or I can't be a Eucharistic minister. I can't do anything now. Just give me time. After I have gotten my time and settled, then I can talk about helping you out and your church. Amen? Does that happen? Oh, good. Yeah. See, I cannot lie. That's what happens sometimes. Some people are making excuses. Or God is calling you or calling any of your children to follow him, to serve him. Oh no, I want them to be lawyers and doctors and this and that and that. Wait, Lord. No. If he wants them, the Lord says, I want this child, I want this person, I want you to do this for me. All you got to do is to say, yes. Say what?
Yes.
Yes. Jack said yes. He might be the priest. And by the time he grew up, he may be the bishop. He said maybe. Who knows? Amen? So the point here is, when God invites you, number one, you have to look at the cost of discipleship. What it means to serve. But also to know that when you say yes with the grace of God, God makes all things work unto good for them that love him. If you say yes, God has a way of guiding you and leading you. Do not be afraid. Sometimes our problem is our worries, our anxieties, our needs, our bodily and physical, like St. Paul was saying in the second reading. It is about our worldly needs, our pleasures. And so those are making it impossible for us to respond when God is calling us to work. God is calling us. So we pray in this Mass, my dear friends, for us to put God at the first in your priorities. God comes first and every other thing follows. But if you serve the Lord has a way of rewarding you for serving him. Just trust. Just believe. And God will do the rest. Amen.